slacked off, whether it'll stay slacked off.
No, it's supposed to pick up during the night. Coming up from the mountains out. Yeah, because when I first looked, there was just the one band, and it was going to be through, like, now. But then he said, no, there's another one coming from...
Before 9 o'clock?
No, during the night.
When is today?
I believe it's April 10th.
April 10th,
Wednesday. April 10th, Wednesday.
This is on, so...
It is?
April 10th.
April 10th.
Monday 19 on a Wednesday night. This Monday night, I think it was Monday night, I'm not sure. During the night, I slept good, but I woke up and I prayed. And when I prayed, I was reminded of why I came back here 50 years ago. And I was told that the Lord is coming. And I said, do I have time to tell my loved one? And he said, the angel said, you just have time. Well, that's 50 years ago. And I was reminded that it's closer. It's a lot closer right now. And also made aware that what I had to say 50 years ago was not the answer. It had nothing to do. It was not anywhere near close what God has given to us today. And... and we have some major revelations that that God is going to teach in the end of time. He's given us some revelations. One of them is the realization that Jesus is a man. That's major. But also, the intake of God's word is vital. That's not a take it or leave it. That's not a, what's the word I want?
Optional.
It's not an option. It's a necessity. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word. Well, is that not God's word? He said, I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. So is that not God's word? Whatever he said is God's word. And so he said, then you're my disciples indeed. And we miss that little word, indeed. You know, then you are my disciples. And that's the truth. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that's what says the King James. I think that's as good as any of them. And it is vital that we hear God's word, and not man's. Man's word is not efficient. Is inefficient. You know, it doesn't do it. And so. And then the third thing, I mean, these are the three things that we are coming into, and of course it has a little bit to do with that verse of Scripture in 3 John 3:4, or verse 4, where John, the beloved, is saying, I have no greater joy, even though he might have some great joys. He doesn't have any joy greater than hearing that his children walk in truth. Well, that gives us, if you look at John, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and without, you know, I'm not thinking about Revelation, but the books that were written by John, if you look at them, that verse kind of summarizes what you see in those other three books. You know, the Gospel of John is all about truth. Truth is a major thing, and in 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, truth, 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 truth. If you see in the 2nd John, in the first four or five verses, every sentence has truth in it somewhere. In 3rd John, it's the same thing. It's like that is a necessary substance. It's something that we have to have. And so, what are we going to be preaching? Well, those two things for sure.
Can I sit over there, Keith, or you want
no,
to sit
in the chair? No, that's fine. The church in the end time is going to be teaching at least those three things. And I knew that the other night, in the middle of the night. Here's the word of the Lord. Truth is an issue. And when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, I would call up Joanne, and I'd say, call up so and so, she was good at it. Call up so and so and tell them we want to go over and talk to them tonight. And so we do that. Okay? And we did that over and over and over and over and over and over. And those people that we talked to were the foundation of Community Chapel. Well, when I heard a voice that said, if you want to find me, here's what you do. You hear my word. I mean, it didn't take much to figure that out. And so when I started to bring that 20-something years ago, and as I did, I met with some opposition. And it, what it did is stymied me a little bit. It made me do a lot of thinking. And I didn't have an answer. And the question that I kept getting from a number of people was, well, if God spoke to you and told you this, then he can just as well speak to other people as well. So what's the reason for pushing it? Why do you push it? Well, you know why you push it? Because you're being forced to. Mm. You're being motivated to. You can't help it. It's like Jeremiah said. He said, I tried to not speak anymore about the things of God, but he says, the word was like a fire burning in my bones. Well, that's what happens to you. You can't help it. And so anyway, and I thought, no, that's not true. If God gives you something, you preach it. Doesn't mm-hmm. say whatever you hear in secret, you shout from the rooftops. Is that what it says? And so
we may as well not have meetings if, you know, Christians have no need to get together and talk.
Yeah, if God's going to speak to everyone. But what that is, that's a cop-out.
Sure.
And I recognized it as such, but I didn't know what to do about it. And then I got realizing that here I am, I'm 80, going on 83, and I still feel this push to get out and talk to people. And just recently, somebody said to me, "Well, they can go over to see you, as well as you can get over to see them. Except here's the problem: most people that need help are not going to drive over to get it. You know they need help; they don't know they need help.
Yeah, they might not know they need help.
They don't know they need it, but you do. So you're the one that does the going, you know." And I am really feeling that lately.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to be on our way here pretty soon. And I got some of those copies the other. Who did you give them to today?
Well, we're trying to keep names off the tape.
Oh. Yeah.
People we know.
Okay.
In the neighborhood.
Okay.
But I want to go back to one of your revelations and tweak it just a little bit. We want to be in the Word as divine by the Spirit, because we've been in the Word for years.
Yeah.
And it's only since the Spirit has been, and you know, I think about, you know, and that kind of sounds like a cop out, but it's like if you are in the right place before God and you're reading the Scriptures, the Spirit comes. It opens up the Scriptures. And versus just reading Scriptures. Because you can plow through it. You can read the Bible front to cover, backwards and forwards, and all sorts of things. Otherwise, to turn a phrase, howbeit that on the 107th time that you read that same scripture,
yeah,
it means something different. And you know, you have to put yourself in the position to be seeking God, but it's the Spirit that opens up the Word.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's not saying different than what you did, but it's. I just want to make sure we give Him the glory in that. It's not anything that we're going to do.
No, but what I'm saying is He is going to move upon us to do it.
Oh.
Then you go.
I'm not arguing that. I mean.
And once He does, you go. You know that you're going to talk to somebody, you talk to them. But they don't receive it. That's tough. You talk to them anyway.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. If you're following God's will to witness or testify or whatever, that's all you're required to do.
There's a man. His name was Ryan Wiseman. And he was from the Pentecostal Assembly. And later on, he married a girl from the Pentecostal Assembly. But anyway, he was a witness to, and he was a policeman for the Eau Claire Police Force. And he was witness to and witness to and he witness to, and he said, "I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe that." And he was adamant about it. And so one night, and they kept praying for him, you know. And there's several people that were witnessing to him. And one night he pulled his police revolver up to his head. And he said, "I'm going to shoot myself. And if there's a God, He's going to stop me right now." And the next thing he knew, he was on his face on the floor, on the ground, repenting of his sins and crying like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? That really doesn't have to do with what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it does. God's in charge. And you know what he did? He became an avid, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. He got, he went over to, I know, some place as a missionary.
Mm. That became his Damascus Road experience.
Yeah. But he probably didn't have any intention of shooting himself anyway. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But
ordinarily, you wouldn't advise that as a good method.
No.
That's not the way. Generally, you should go about finding out if there's a God.
Well, that's a pretty big fleece.
Yeah.
But can't make rules for God that He's not willing to.
Well, it didn't seem to be too big for God.
No, that's right.
Based on what you said,
maybe had no intention of shooting him. Who knows? But God got a hold of him anyway.
Well, he probably didn't have any intentions of being on face down on the ground.
No.
Repenting either. So,
yeah.
You know, going back to, I guess this morning for some reason, like the last few weeks, you know, I've been reading and stuff, but just not, things weren't just, you know, jumping out or anything like that. And then this morning I was reading and I was kind of led to go to Romans. And it's funny, when one word, single words start just meaning something. I mean, you know, and it was just like, it was so interesting to be reading the word. Because as I was going along, I was just waiting, what is this verse going to reveal? Or what is, or maybe not this one, but maybe three later or something, you know. And there was just key little things that were popping up that just, it was good. It was good to be eating again of the word, you know, in the right way, you know.
Mm.
Just reading and letting it just do what it was going to do.
Mm.
Yeah, like going to the word like little children.
Yeah.
We've kind of had to, you know, stop engaging our brain a little bit here, a little late.
Yeah. Mm.
That's good.
I don't know why I said all that, but there was a reason.
Well, you know, God's timing is, you know, before it's time, then it's not time, but when it's time, it is time. And you would expect some prompting.
Well, this, for what I just said, the same thing is what you were getting, but in a different vein. You were getting the excitement of possibly sharing it. I was still getting the excitement of just having it, you know. Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, when I had that experience 50 years ago, I had that dream that, you know, as a result of it, there was no way I could not come back. And, but at that point, I'm thinking, I got answers to give. I got truth to give. I'm equipped to, I've had this good training and, I really know what I'm doing. And the truth is, I had nothing. I had nothing. Most of what I had at that time, we had got undo.
You know, you hear, consider that phrase, you just have time. And it sounds like, just months, possibly a year, but months, you know. But really, that doesn't have to be true. If the process is 50-some years, then you would still just have time.
Well, and God wants you to live as if it's right now.
Yes.
Well, yeah, that's the way the all the apostles were speaking, and the, you know, they thought the end was really near.
Yeah, really.
You know, that's because...
Paul says, and we which are alive and remain.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't happen, Paul.
No, but...
He just had time, only it's 2,000 years later yet.
Right.
Yeah.
He was probably a little surprised when he got in heaven.
You know, in Peter there, it says that there'll be scoffers in the last day who said, where is the promise of his coming? You know, it's almost like anticipated that time was going to be stretched, really, really stretched beyond what the natural man is willing to accept as being reasonable.
Sure. Yeah.
But a day of the Lord is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day, so what? God is not slack concerning his promises.
No.
Didn't Jesus say, in a little while I'll come back?
Yeah.
So what's 50 years compared to the 2,000 the apostles have been waiting? Time, you just kind of chuck it out there and go, well.
But then, you know, Jesus says that odd thing about, I don't know when I'll be, you know, or I don't know when the end is.
He kind of says, soon I'll be back, and then, but I don't know when it is.
But I don't know when.
Yeah. You know, if I can, I got to share one of the things that I saw. Because it kind of is like him not knowing the days come. But right in the first part of, right, verse 4 of Romans 1. Well, let me read 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. And here's the one that struck me. And declared to be the Son of God.
That's a funny term, isn't it?
Yeah, declared to be the Son of God with power. According to this, so how was it he was declared? Well, he had the spirit of holiness, because he was sinless, by the resurrection from the dead. But I just thought, see, it wasn't like he made himself the Son of God, or what necessarily, he was declared to be the Son of God by the fact that, with power according to the spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead.
You know, that's a funny line.
Yeah, I know. I thought, that's interesting. Why would he have to be declared?
Seems as how there was a virgin birth and all that.
Yeah.
And declared by the resurrection from the dead.
But, you know, declared. It says in John 1:18, now where it says that that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared the Father.
Yeah, I guess that's right. He made it known throughout.
Yeah.
By way of the resurrection. You know.
As strange as it is, after, you know, all these years of me being in churches, all kinds of churches, I never really did have a good picture of who God is, what God is like, and I still don't. It's not that we do, but it's when Jesus said in the fourth chapter of John that God is spirit. You know what? That slowly became a reality. That changed my whole perspective, because now we're not dealing with a man. We're not in submission to somebody like us. We're created into His image, but we're not even sure what all that means. But at the same time, it's a spirit being that created us, that is all powerful, and how do you relate to it? I thank God for tongues. And I tell him that just about every morning. Because, and you know what? I didn't understand that. Mm-hmm. It's only been the last year or so that I really started to understand the value of being able to speak in tongues.
Well, we should exercise it, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God has given it to us. And then when he told the Galatians, he said, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? Did you receive the Holy Spirit by hearing of faith or by the works of the law?" It is obvious it was by the hearing of faith. You know, so it's a faith. Receiving the Holy Spirit is a faith substance. Mm-hmm. And so through that, I kicked it over. I put it over by you, maybe, so I can't touch it.
I don't know if I want to trust Corky with that thing, though.
You know, that's one of them really good examples of three words. God is spirit completely changed my whole concept of God.
It changes it, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean,
it changes me overnight.
Because all of a sudden, when he's a spirit, you can't put all these man things on him, you know? You can't make him something other than a spirit.
And out from him came everything that exists.
Yeah.
And he created everything that exists from nothing. We have to have substance. We have to have something to start with.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He didn't need something. Mm-hmm. And you look and you see the vast number of planets and stuff that are out there. And he's going to wrap all of these up like a big shrewel someday. And they're going to dissolve. And he's going to build a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness.
Yeah, there's...
Who is he?
In verse 20, it says exactly that about, because he's a spirit. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
Yes, in Romans.
Yeah, Romans 20. So even though he's invisible, what he made is a witness of who he is, unless you do like what became of the ones that Paul's talking about here in Romans. But up farther though, in 16, I was another little sentence that caught me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. And I thought, that's interesting. You know, why isn't it like the grace of God to salvation, you know? The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That's kind of a neat statement, too. Mm-hmm. You know, that there's power in salvation. I think that's what it's saying.
It seems to be, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's
Or he puts power to salvation. Something, I don't know exactly. I mean, I don't have that exactly down, but...
Well, I have an NAS translation along, and it's the same, expresses it the same way.
Does it?
Yeah. Hmm. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. I guess I wouldn't argue, but that's not your first choice of thing that you would say that...
usually. In other places, so it says, you know, that it's a gift and it's grace, you
mm-hmm,
know.
Sure, so, sure.
But it's also power. Mm-hmm.
Power.
Mm-hmm. It makes it pretty special. Mm-hmm. So, that was just a couple of things I stumbled across that I wanted to throw out there.
Well, it is interesting, right, when you go back to something that you've gone over, but because of this little bit of revelation in that area, and this little bit of revelation there, and then you get on that, and all of a sudden you read it, it's like, oh, this is all new. I mean, it's not new, but it's new, and the meaning it has is different, and where the Spirit leads you will take you in a different direction than the first time, or the 50th time.
Yeah, you know, of course, because I kept reading Romans, you get to the sin issue, you know, and I wanted to read more, you know, I just wanted to be there because it's like, well, it's kind of like John, you know, he says, well, yeah, you sin, but don't, you know, and it kind of says it's false.
But if you do.
Yeah, but if you do. But there was a verse in here that if somebody else has something, I'll have to find it. It's like, I wanted to ask you, oh, okay, this I see it. 6:11. Chapter 6:11. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I wrote up above it, how do I? How do I do that? Mm-hmm. Reckon myself dead to sin, because it ain't. I'm not dead to sin, I know that.
Well, I have a theory about the book of Romans. I think I've kind of shared it before, but I'm willing to kind of share it again. And that is that Paul, as he's writing under the unction of the Holy Spirit, but as he is writing, he is, you know, he's imposing this really high standard for what we should be doing. Dead to sin, you know. And then he says, oh, wait a minute. I'm not doing this. Like in Romans 7. You know?
Right.
You know? It's like he's taking himself, he's in the process of developing an argument that puts him in a different place than he was before. And he finally, Romans 8, realizes, hey, it's got to be the work of grace. You know, because the evil that I would not, that I do, the good that I, you know. So he's all, you know, he's opposing this really kind of strict legalistic kind of approach to the whole thing. There in Romans 4 and 5 and whatever, 6, you know. And then 7. Oh, no, that's not happening in me, you know. And then it's thank God for Jesus Christ, because otherwise...
I would fall short.
Yeah, right.
Paul saying, thank God for Jesus or I fall short.
Right, or, you know, and he really makes it clear it is a work of the Spirit, you know, the flesh... It really is a work of the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit, not fulfill the lusts of the flesh.
Well, that I ran ahead and was reading that because I thought, yeah, he gives us to get rid of condemnation, you know, declare that you're in Christ Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it still says, Yeah, but don't walk in the flesh, walk in the spirit.
But he's giving a route, though. You know, yeah, you know, the spirit's available. Just walk in, you know, walk in the spirit.
Well, what,
and that really, you know, when you're walking in the spirit, hey, it's easy. It is so
yeah,
easy.
Yeah.
You know.
So maybe grace says you're not going to always be in the spirit, but
Rams, yeah.
My grace will keep it's you till you are.
For those times when you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that
I remember reading in Romans and finding, oh, Paul, you're awful hard on me. Gee, you're hard on me. You know?
Yeah, because it sounded to me like, well, I believe he was walking in the spirit after all that and not fulfilling the lusts of the flesh. But I'm still fulfilling the lusts of the flesh.
Yeah, so was he.
You know, but a little bit, I think that Paul, he's just, he's, you know, long story short, Paul is like, this is what you should do. Nobody can. Thank for Jesus. Thank you for the Lord. Yeah, Savior. You know what I mean?
I that's it. Yeah.
It's like,
that might be the message.
He's not saying, hey, I'm a goofo, everybody be a goofo.
No,
he's like, this is what God expects from us. He knows you can't. Mm-hmm. Neither can I. That's why he sent you the Lord Jesus Christ so he can forgive your sins. Now, right after that, it's like, so are we going to sin abundantly because of the grace of mercy?
Yeah.
Certainly not.
Right.
So don't take advantage of the you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
And I kind of felt I was being led to this area of Romans.